at 7:12. It's a Thursday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News, live on location, this time from RV City, where I'm anticipating in a matter of moments now that the sun is gradually rising, and we've got the folks from the Riverside YMCA doing their annual walkthrough at RV City. The grills are going to get fired up. We're going to have some bacon. We're going to get some sausage going. We're probably going to get some smoking going on, smoking of meat, maybe other things. Who knows? It is RV City, after all. And this is Jacksonville, and it's Florida, Georgia, Georgia-Florida weekend this year. Visiting now with Jacksonville Sheriff's Officer Chris Hancock. And this is a mini city every year. What's been your most creative thing that you've seen through the years here, Chris?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And a lot of these guys and gals, they come back every year. They enjoy the festivities, they enjoy the fun, they enjoy the game. They have a great time here. They get a little crazy at times, but not so much that we need to get involved, if you know what I mean. So no, they just love it here.
Did we just have a shift change? We saw a lot of people milling around Jacksonville Sheriff's officers.
Yep, we sure did. About 6 a.m. they changed. The guys will be here all day long. They do a 12-hour shift, essentially. They'll come in and change out tonight.
Yep. Is this something that people request to do every year? Do they say, hey, I really want to work the RV City?
Absolutely. The crew that's here today has been here at least the last 4 years. The lieutenant that works at the sergeant and all the officers, again, they enjoy the people. They do get fed well, I'll be honest, because the all the guests out here, the fans, they do love to cook, so we eat very well out here. So you'll see me out here on occasion as well, and I'm not working here.
What's the best food that you've tasted out here, by the way?
Oh, it's everything from barbecue. The breakfasts are great. The sausage. It's just a great atmosphere. It's a fun place to be.
Well, that's good. It is Halloween, by the way. We got a bucket full of candy, so if you want to get your candy on,
thanks.
Don't do the mini Twix.
No.
Sorry. I'm sure we're going to hear from them.
Take it when I leave.
This is a big day for so many, and there is a safety component to it. We just talked to Nicole D'Antonio in our Washington newsroom about this is the deadliest day for pedestrians, and it's Pedestrian Safety Awareness Month as well.
Correct.
What's the overall message you have for people in Jacksonville? Maybe start with, like, anyone who's driving, anyone who is not a kid or doesn't have a kid, what do they need to make sure that they're mindful of today?
Right. We just need to understand that this is a deadly day, unfortunately. Drivers need to be cognizant of their surroundings, obviously, all the time. Make sure you're utilizing those headlights. Use all the safety equipment that you can. And expect children to be in the road. And even more importantly, expect them to dart out into the road. It's unfortunate, but that's a lot of times how it happens. You'll be driving along and then am a child. Will be, or two will be, right out in front of you. So be aware of that. Just know that when you leave, that the potential for someone to be out in front of you in that roadway is greater today, obviously, than it is any other day of the year.
And right? It could be somebody too whose vision is impaired because of their costume, or they may be wearing dark colors.
Correct.
And not, you know, have a flashlight on them. So
correct. And that's what I was going to say about, you know, the trick-or-treaters. They wear a lot of dark clothing. As parents, make sure your children have that lighting, whether it's the glow sticks or the flashlights, something that would illuminate them a little better than what they're going to be in those dark clothes.
Do you put additional patrols out on a day like today?
We don't put additional patrols out, but the officers that are out there are more cognizant of that. They're going to be in those neighborhoods, keeping those neighborhoods safer. A lot of the neighborhoods, the larger ones that do this annually, they'll bring individuals into the neighborhood from outside. They actually hire off-duty officers to manage the traffic inside there. So that helps those larger areas. But in general, the officers are going to be out there looking for that as well.
There are parts of this city that are just not well lit, and that's
correct.
Not a political statement. It just is the reality of the infrastructure. So do you deploy, or how do you ensure that there's some lighting or there's some visibility in a different way by communicating to the community that, hey, there's not good lighting in this community?
Right. Well, and that's what we do. We message that stuff out. We're messaging out safety tips for drivers as well as the pedestrians and the candy getters, if you will. But unfortunately, you're not wrong. There are a lot of neighborhoods that don't have a lot of lighting on the street. So, again, that's why we would ask parents to know your area, know where you're going to go, and make sure the children have some artificial light of some degree so that the drivers can see them. But, again, ultimately, it's a big responsibility on those drivers, right? We're adults. We should be, very aware of our surroundings at all times. The kids should be as well, but let's be honest, they're not always, right? They're excited. They're running back and forth from house to house. They're not as aware as we should be as drivers. So that's where we lay a lot of that responsibility.
Is it better to park in the driveway on a street away from homes? Do you have advice on that?
For those coming into the neighborhoods?
Yeah.
It depends on the area, right? Some areas they have a parking area. Some you're going to park on the side of the road. So some of these neighborhoods will get really congested with cars parked, and then you've got all the pedestrians. It's not a great way to do things, but unfortunately it's the way things happen. And again, we just want everybody to be aware. Be as safe as you can at all times.
All right, we're visiting with Officer Chris Hancock with Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and we'll talk a little bit more about what it takes to put on the logistics of this game and this whole week. Every single year, year after year, it takes months of planning and a whole lot of coordination. It's 7:22 on the Thursday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News, live at RV City and the Georgia-Florida tailgate, which started on Tuesday and has been a slow, steady burn that will continue to pick up in numbers, intensity, and probably libations as the day moves along and into Friday, and certainly throughout the day on Saturday. We're visiting with Christian Hancock. He's the public information officer for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. And how many weeks or months in advance of Florida-Georgia weekend are you all planning for this?
I'd like to say we work on it every year, a year out. But about 6 months out is when we really start hitting it hard. We'll look at what happened the previous year, find out where we had officers positioned both outside of the stadium and inside the stadium. And if there were issues specific to an area, we need to add bodies or remove them and put them elsewhere. But yeah, that's a 6 month out process, not only with us, with JFRD, with EPD, obviously the Jaguars, those that work in the stadium. So the whole team will start working together about 6 months out.
And does that include staffing and resources? Do you increase resources for this specific event and like completely maxed out? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a typical Jag game, you know, we work 8 to 10 times a year, right? So we have that down pretty good as far as traffic outside and staffing inside. The difference in this game and Jaguar games, during this game particularly, there's as many people outside as there are inside. Jaguar game outside the stadium, it's relatively free from people because they're all inside watching the game, right? This one is a lot more of that partying, that libations as you speak of. So we're dealing with a lot more outside during the game than we would during Jaguar. So staffing levels absolutely are higher on the outside. Inside is relatively the same. You can only put so many people inside, and we have that staffed. Outside, we have to work on some other issues, unfortunately. Alcohol becomes a problem for some, right? So we have to deal with that. Traffic is a big issue with all the pedestrians in and around the streets. So again, that's another safety issue that we have to be concerned about.
JSO has a Homeland Security Division. Do you all then partner with state and federal law enforcement on the Homeland Security component?
Sure, absolutely. There are local, state, and federal partners that will be out here during this game and doing whatever they do, whether it's alcohol related or intelligence related. We've got boats on the water because we've got the water taxis. So yeah, we keep the area locked down best we can. Again, allowing for the individuals to have a great time. We're not here to spoil that. We want everybody to have a great time, but we want everybody to be safe. And if we have to intervene, obviously we will, but we'll do that as quickly and as safely as possible and get the problem out, and everybody else can go back to having fun.
Obviously more alcohol-related calls during this event, but are there other calls of a more unique nature that are specific to this event?
Not really. I mean, people are people, right? Whatever the event is going on, people are gonna be people. Again, they're gonna have fun. Sometimes they get a little carried away, and unfortunately that's when we have to intervene. But again, we're going to, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to use kid gloves, but every situation is different. We're going to handle it as safely and as quickly as possible to get that situation squelched, because in atmospheres like this with all the people, if one instance starts with, say, two individuals, you know, tempers get flared, emotions rise, and now you've got a lot of people in a small area that could get, you know, get out of control. So again, that's what we're trying to curtail.
I know that you work with other law enforcement agencies and Homeland Security and things like that. Are there other agencies from Georgia who come to participate in this particular event?
Not necessarily. You're going to have the officers with the teams and with that whole organization will be here. But in general, most of the folks that you'll see here will be local, state, and federal. I mean, some of the federal, yes, but state is going to be Florida.
Imagine all the dignitaries that they have to transfer back and forth to the airports and all that.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the logistics of that have got to be pretty out of this
world. It is. And again, that just adds to the traffic that's already going to be here, right? So we're getting people in and out, getting teams, bands, cheerleaders, officials. I mean, you've got a whole multitude of people that got to get in at specific times, and that's where we assist. When they get to the outside areas, we'll bring them in. To help them get in.
Before we let you get, we do want to talk about the election coming up. How are you handling this different than any others in terms of law enforcement? We had that machete incident over in Neptune Beach. Are you increasing patrols around Election Day Tuesday and beyond?
Well, we always increase during polling times, yes. We are aware of the incident that took place in Neptune Beach. Obviously, we're on alert for anything that may or may not happen. So we have a plan in place. We have officers in the areas. But again, it's not like we can stand there at the doors, right? So we will let people do their polling. If we get calls, we will come in and we will take care of that problem. But obviously, we're aware. Plans are in place. If necessary for us to intervene at a polling location, we will be there promptly to handle those situations. But as far as I know, we haven't had any issues to date, but we will keep monitoring that, absolutely.
And is the monitoring of that different than it has been in elections past? We were talking with a group of students the other day at UNF, and I had said to them, I feel bad for you because you're really seeing the electoral process in a way that has been very markedly different
right.
than it has been in previous decades.
Right,
really, we
right.
haven't seen this kind of unrest really maybe since the civil rights movement. So is that part of your conversation that this election may be unlike others for which we've prepared?
Well, sure. We got to think realistically, right? Volatile. These times are a little more volatile than they have been in years past. So, yes, we are constantly looking at that. We're constantly monitoring everything that's going on around the nation to ensure that we do everything we can do to make it a safe place.
All right, we'll let you get out on that. Christian Hancock with the Public Information Office at Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Enjoy the week. This is your last Georgia-Florida game?
It will be my last one, yes.
Oh, well, thank you for your service.
Not a problem. Thank you all. Appreciate the invite.
Community. Do appreciate you being here. Jacksonville's Morning News continues live from RV City on this Thursday, Halloween morning.